Hiya, pals, and welcome to the show. I am, of course, the Wolf of Disney, and we are joined by our good pal,
the Wookiee.
Wolfpack, this podcast is live on all of your favorite listening apps like Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and, of course, our main platform,
Anchor.
Wolfpack, the Wookiee and I are excited to be here. This is the first time, Wookiee, we've been together in a little bit. We usually have been putting out episodes that we pre-recorded, that we did an interview with. So it's nice to have a little banter session today.
Just the two of us. That's the way I like it.
That's right.
Well, I do love the interviews, but it's nice to go back to our roots.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's important for us to do this every once in a while and just chat, because this was originally why we created the podcast, why we got together and we teamed up. It was a great opportunity for us to get together, talk Disney, dork out a little bit and talk all things Disney. So I'm excited to do that with you today. And I think, you know, I'd like to talk a little bit about some changes that we have going on. You've noticed them, right?
I am very aware. Yes.
Just making sure.
Well, let's tune everybody else in.
Exactly. So the Wookiee and I are teaming up with Mark Valentine, Dwayne, Lori, and the rest of the gang over at This Diz Life and becoming members of their content creator team. And what that means is we're joining them. Not much else is really going to be changing. We did make a change to the overall appearance of our show, so it does appear a little bit different now. But we are joining up with them, and we have some really exciting things coming with them. So we're going to be starting a news broadcast, which I'm really excited about, and have a complete outline for ready to go. And I think within that, there are going to be some opportunities for other shows sort of to develop, very similar to The Mandalorian and all these other spinoff shows that have come out on top of that. So Mr. Wookiee is going to have a segment within that I'm really excited about, that we have already sort of started in this show. But it'll be a great opportunity for you to branch out and start doing your own thing. So I'm really excited for that.
Wookiee's Worth the Watch is finally going to become a big production at this point.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm really excited about that. But I'm also just really excited about how far we've come. I mean, we talk about pretty frequently that when we started this, we didn't really have many expectations. And now I would say, you know, we've got some pretty big shoes to fill in, you know, looking at Mark's podcast and how well he does with that. And that we've got a number of vlogs put into this Diz Life creator content corner that we have. So we've got to bring our A game, Mr. Wookiee. I know that much.
Yeah, we got, we got Lori and Melissa Eckler. You know, running travel agencies, and then we have vlogs, we have blogs, we have a YouTube channel with John Henson, we have a YouTube channel with the Shavers. Yep. We got Mark's podcast, our podcast. I mean, just a lot going on.
Definitely.
It's really cool to be part of a team and dare I say family. Mm-hmm. That we all just really care about Disney, and I think this is a big opportunity for all of us. So I think combining forces, we got a lot of content creators, and I think we got a lot of good stuff on the way. So I'm very excited, and I know they are as well. So I'm happy to the new art looks great.
Yes, absolutely.
The new intro and outro videos are great. I mean, we've definitely stepped up our game from when we started in your kitchen with a cell phone on the counter table, you know what I mean?
Definitely. Yeah, I'm very excited for everything that's coming. And more importantly, I think I'm really just happy with the fact that we really didn't have to change much. We get to continue doing our thing, which is where it started and where it's going to continue to go. So you can sort of expect the same sort of thing from us. We're going to get together every Tuesday. We're going to have a new episode out for you, and we're going to either have someone that we're talking to, or it's just going to be the two of us rambling about Disney. So, Mr. Wookiee, I'm really excited because you have a trip coming up January 1st. I think everybody in the Disney community right now knows that you're going on January 1st, and I'm excited. So tell me a little bit about the planning, who's going. Tell me a little bit about your trip coming up.
So on the first, I go. This is 2 years in a row now we've gone on the first. We used to go for Christmas. Now we've started to go for New Year's. And even before that, we used to go for Thanksgiving. So we've kind of shifted later and later into the year. But it's going to be me, my parents, my brother, his girlfriend, Rachel, and our friend, John.
Nice.
So it's going to be the same squad as last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have – it's going to be different, obviously, with all the new restrictions and changes and everything going on. There's still construction going on. So it's definitely going to be different, but it's still going to be a great time with, you know, great people. So
definitely. I'm excited for you. I think you've got a lot of things on your docket, you know, especially over at Hollywood Studios. I'll be excited for you to get over to Slinky Dog and Smuggler's Run. Hopefully you get up early enough, which I don't think will happen, but hopefully you get up early enough and you can get Rise of the Resistance.
So I could only get Hollywood for one day. So yeah. That's probably going to be, and it's actually at the end of the trip. Mm-hmm. So I am probably going to be pretty worn out by that point in the trip. Mm-hmm. We'll see if I can get my fat butt out of bed and get over there to do Rise. I really want to do Rise of Resistance. It's just, it's a lot of work to get that boarding pass. So We'll see what happens. I know John definitely wants to get on that too. Mm-hmm. My brother and his girlfriend don't really care too much. Me and John got a 5 day pass. They only got a 4. So, there's going to be a day. We got Magic Kingdom on the 3rd and the 4th. Mm-hmm. So on the 3rd is the day we do our big, pod-a-thon with James. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I think that day I can kind of take it easy at the park and make sure I get back to my room in time for that.
Yep.
But and then I can, you know, everything I missed, I can get done on the 4th, which is when I actually intend on meeting up with John Henson. So I think we'll have a pretty cool photo shoot for you guys on the page.
Yeah, definitely. To sort of piggyback off of what you're talking about there. So we have agreed, our friend James over at Mouse Ears and Magic podcast is putting together a live stream that will go for 12 hours, and it is all to benefit. So we are going to be slated at 4:00 will be our live time, will be live. And I haven't exactly decided what we're going to talk about, but I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about. You'll be here first couple days within the park. And I'm sure we can think of something to talk about to sort of bring. I'd love to do something maybe along the lines of talking about the cast members, because what we're doing is we're doing a benefit for the cast members. So maybe we can talk a little bit more about, you know, sort of our experiences with some of the cast members that make our Disney trip, because I think that so frequently, that's really what it's all about. So where are you staying, Mr. Wookie?
We're going to the Beach Club. So it's our home base.
Yep. That's exciting. Excited about your trip. I'll be excited to hear how you make out around the park.
It just kind of stinks because nothing's really open on the boardwalk, and that's really why, you know, Beach Club's such a prime spot.
Yeah,
because that's, you know, you're right there. But you know, no ESPN Club, no Jelly Rolls, no Dance Hall. Mm-hmm. You really just have the pizza window, which obviously I've expressed my love for. But
sure.
Yeah, but Abracadab Bar, and that's really it. Mm-hmm. I know the Dolphin has some nice bars over there. So honestly, we might be, you know, hopping over there at night. But that's really, it's going to be weird just because that night is really, it really was the boardwalk for us. You could just, you know, hop bar to bar, or, you know, go to the club or go to the ESPN club, or, you know what I mean? There was a lot of options. Now it's going to be pretty limited. So I do see us maybe hopping over to the Swan or Dolphin, maybe spending a night there. I the first night I go down, actually on the first, we're staying at the Dolphin.
Oh, nice. Wow.
We couldn't get Beach Club for the whole time. So we have to spend one night at the Dolphin, and then we go over to the Beach Club for the rest of the trip.
I don't remember if it was the Dolphin or the Swan, but we had a set of friends who just recently went think it was the Dolphin that has Don Shula's restaurant in there, and they said it was great. It was really.
It has to be the Dolphin if it's Don Shula.
Yeah, I think it was the Dolphin. But no, good stuff. I'm excited for you, like I said, and I'm hoping that you and the whole family have a good trip. I'm hoping that that you get on the People Mover and the Carousel of Progress.
Nope, definitely not.
Well, here's why I say that, because I would hope that after all the conversations that we've had about it, you'd go on with maybe a different perspective and at least try it.
Not even a little bit.
Really? Nope. All right. Well, that's
maybe People Mover. We'll see if I can't just walk right on, it's not happening.
Okay. I hope that you do, because I think, you know, based off of the conversations that we've had here, you've encouraged me to get over to Via Napoli. You've told me that I need to go check out Jelly Rolls. The one thing that I've really harped on with you is to check out the People Mover and just try to enjoy it.
The only reason I do want to do it is because I want to see the construction going on with Tron.
Yeah.
There you go. That's
I'll take it. It's a small victory for me.
I might do it. We'll see. Yeah, I think if I do, you'll definitely get a video for sure.
I think that you should. I really do.
But I'm excited. I think I'm gonna meet John Henson. Like, yep. I said, I think that'll be pretty cool just to meet. You know, we have this Disney family now, but
yeah,
you know, we've never met in person.
Right.
So I think it would be nice to see him. Like I said, you'll probably get a pretty cool photo shoot out of it.
Yeah.
He's gonna be doing a time slot on James's podcast as well.
Yep.
So definitely check out that. And then a couple other members in our, you know, little community here have reached out and said, hey, if you're here, you know, John and Kathy, yep. We had them on. They definitely want to hang out, which I'm all for.
Yep.
We have, you know, I might, you know, upset my party by ditching them for some new friends, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. No, yeah. Like I said, I hope that you do. I wish that I was going, because I definitely would love to meet some of them as well. But the wife and I have a trip planned for January, late January. So we're sort of hoping that we can.
Get I want to say there. The 21st, right?
I think it's the 24th to the 26th, something along those lines. I'll have to double check the itinerary. I haven't pulled it up.
Your yet, wife but. And Alicia have been
going been back chatting. And forth.
Yeah. So she was telling me. Oh, you're not coming down with the wolf?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going before the wolf. What are you talking about?
That's right.
He's not coming with me.
Yeah. Well, I'm blacked out like Alicia is right now. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Because you were telling me, like, oh, you should come. And I was like, I'm not paying for a pass. I'm just not. I'm blacked out right now, which is fine. I can essentially go. I think the day you either leave or the day that you come back, I can start going again. So
I talked to Alicia too. She was saying, Disney Springs has been slammed the last few days.
I bet. Yeah, I bet. I'll be honest. I'm always surprised when you tell me when you're going, because you seem to go when it's the busiest. And that to me, just, I don't know that I'd be able to do that. It would drive me crazy.
I love going during like the holiday season, when you get all the lights, all the trees, all the decorations and music and the extra fireworks.
Right.
But, you know, now with COVID, it's probably not going to be as magical as I expect it to be. But I haven't been in a while. It's been a year. I usually go twice a year. I didn't this year because of, obviously, the way everything went. But
a little difficult, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I'm going to see my grandparents. I'm going to see my uncle. So I'm excited. I definitely... you know, miss them. Mm-hmm. My grandfather's 88 now, I think.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to, you know, we can't put life on hold. You know what I mean?
I understand that entirely. No, like I said, I'm excited for you, and I definitely will be excited to hear about your trip in its entirety. And like I said, I do hope that you get on the People Mover, even if it's just to see the construction that's going on over at Tron. So. I'm excited to get into this this next segment, because it's been a while since we've done this, but it is called Wookiee's Worth the Watch. We talked a little bit about it a few minutes ago, and maybe potentially branching off into its own show. But Mr. Wookie, what are some things that you've been watching? There's been a lot of releases. Obviously, we didn't talk a whole lot about Mando. We had Mando Monday with Mark Valentine that we, you know, we would divulge and talk about, you know, each week. But we really haven't had an opportunity to talk about it amongst ourselves. So I'm curious if you've watched that. Did you watch Soul? There's a bunch of things. There's that new movie Safety. So what's the Wookiee watching?
I will touch on Mando Monday just because, you know, we obviously do Mando Monday every Monday after the episode comes out. My connection was very crappy on the finale episode, so I was really not very involved in that. But I do have thoughts that I definitely didn't get to express.
Well, here's the platform. Go right ahead.
But I really did. I will say I called it. He was going to save Grogu before the end of the season. You guys all thought he wasn't. Just saying.
Okay.
But I really did. I really wanted this show to be its own thing. So I didn't want there to be too much connection to like the Skywalker saga. Mm-hmm. But the way they went about it was perfect. So I don't hate it at all. I don't think you're, and just for the people that haven't seen it, I mean, spoiler alert, hit pause now. Don't keep listening if you haven't seen it yet. But Luke Skywalker, I mean, wow. That was character number one in the originals. So
yeah,
to see him in full form as a Jedi Master, like you've really never seen him before, was impressive. The way they did it was amazing. The way they kind of laughed at it at first, like, oh, one X-Wing, we're saved.
Yeah.
And then like, oh, we are.
Oh, we are, right.
And he just, and there was a lot of, like I did get out on Mando Monday before my connection went bad. I saw a lot of Anakin's fighting style in Luke during that scene. A lot of deflections behind the back, a lot of spinning. And I just, they all have their own fighting style. And I saw a lot of Anakin and Luke during that scene, just like you saw Anakin slash Darth Vader at the end of Rogue One. So I think you can see the similarities between the two scenes. And I think that was just a fantastic way to end what has been an amazing show. I mean, season one was good, but season two didn't have any low points whatsoever.
Yeah,
I mean, episode one with the dragon, and then episode two with the spiders, and right, episode three with the Mandalorians, and then episode four with, you know, the Jedi. And then you get Boba, and then you get Mayfeld back, and then you go rescue Grogu.
Right.
You get answers about Grogu. You find out his name is Grogu.
Right.
You learn so much this season that it's going to be weird to see where this show turns now, because I don't think you're going to see Luke or Grogu again.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Grogu at the very end of the show.
Yeah.
But we already know there's two more seasons at least. So I don't think you're going to see him until maybe the very end of the show.
Right.
Because he did promise, I'll see you again. Mm-hmm. But I think that's going to be like the closing scene of the series.
Yeah. It's a good take.
I don't think you're going to see them. I don't think you're going to see Luke. I mean, how much does that cost to make him de-aged? You know what I mean? So I just think this show is going to take a very drastic turn into maybe him being the king of Mandalore, or, you know, this whole dispute over the Darksaber with
Bo-Katan.
Yeah, Bo-Katan. Yeah, thank you. Drawing a blank there.
That's why I'm here. No, I think, you know, just to throw in, you know, a couple of my own thoughts. I did find the, you know, X-Wing Luke Skywalker reveal really incredible. It was really neat to sort of see Luke in his prime. The moments that we sort of remember Luke is, you know, very cloudy, I guess, is maybe the best way to put it.
I mean, the early movies, he was very whiny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the ship. Oh, that thing's a piece of crap.
Right.
Like, he was just like, I can't say the words I want to say, but I mean, he was just a little baby during the, you know, the first two movies for sure. Mm-hmm. During the third one, Revenge of the,
Empire Strikes Back.
That's the second one, isn't it? It's New Hope,
Empire Strikes Back, the
Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi. Yeah,
he was kind of in form, mm-hmm. like when he walked in to confront Jabba the Hutt, but you didn't really see him as a full Jedi Master until really this episode of Mandalorian.
Yeah.
So I think. It's kind of the goodbye we've been waiting for since the 80s, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. No, it was good.
Really hated crotchety old Luke in the new movies. So
yeah, that was my point. Like, I think a lot of people didn't care for the way that he presented himself later on in the later trilogy. So this was really a sort of a piece of redemption for him. So definitely enjoyed it. Definitely would encourage everyone who, even if you're not a Star Wars fan, I do think that there's something to enjoy about this series. And sort of like you said, I don't know what season three holds for everybody, but I can't imagine it's not going to not be good.
It's been good so far, so I have to give it the benefit of the doubt. Absolutely. Especially also with the Book of Boba coming out. I mean,
yeah, we're going to get into, I definitely want to get into with you a little bit about Investor Day, because we haven't even touched that. And there was so much great content and information that came out of that. But definitely Book of Boba not announced that Investor Day, allowed Jon Favreau to keep it as a secret. So Book of Boba and Mandalorian, it's confirmed. They're going to work separately. They're going to be two.
That kind of bothers me, because like, you just introduced this great character that mm-hmm. everyone loved from the originals. You brought him back in a great way. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of part of the team now.
Sure.
And now you're going to remove him, and he's going to be his own show. So that means you're not going to see Baby Yoda. You're not going to see Grogu again. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see Luke again. You're not going to see Fennec again. And you're not going to see Boba again.
Right.
So Mandalorian's going to take a pretty hard turn.
Yeah,
like, it's going to be a very different show than what you're used to.
Definitely. And I it poses the question, are you not excited then for Book of Boba?
I'm excited for Book of Boba. I'm nervous about Mandalorian moving forward.
Yeah. No, it's a fair point. I think, you know, it'll be so. And here's once we get in the Investor Day, I can speak a little bit more to this. But I think what you saw was Disney throwing up a bunch of ideas, and they're just really going to see if they'll stick. You know, it's kind of like a pilot episode on ABC. You know, did people like it? Did they watch it? If they didn't, guess what? After four episodes that they've already pre-recorded, it's done. They're not going to continue it. So I'll be curious to see how the two work separately. And I'll also be curious to see if, you know, they'll have to work together in order to get that following and fan base. So it's interesting.
I think you'll score the original fans quite easily, just being that it's Boba Fett.
Right.
I think you'll get that following no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just nervous to see, you know, these two characters that are the same. Not exactly the same, but similar.
Similar, yeah.
Living in the same timeline at the same time.
Right.
And just seeing how they coexist without running into each other. Because I can't imagine that these shows are going to, now that Boba's becoming its own thing, I can't imagine they're going to cross paths again.
Yeah.
But they're also living in the same timeline. So it's going to be interesting. You know, they're both in a similar area. They've both been to Tatooine. It's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you get crossovers, but I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah. Nope. I agree. So let's jump over. Let's change pace a little bit. Pixar's Soul just recently came out. Have you seen it?
I did.
Okay. What did you think? Initial reaction?
I didn't love it.
Okay.
And I'm a Disney fan, so I want to say I love everything they do. Mm-hmm. But honestly, if you remember back when Onward came out, I wasn't the biggest fan of Onward.
Yeah.
I would take Onward over Soul.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the musical aspect of it. I think I agree that there was there could have been more. There could have been a lot more music.
Something was missing, and I can't
put your finger
on it. I can't put my finger on it, but mm-hmm. something was missing.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing, you know, you mentioned Onward, and I think one thing that sort of sticks out to me is both of those films didn't necessarily feel like a Pixar movie. And we talked about that before, that it just didn't feel like a Pixar film. It just didn't.
Like you watch WALL-E or you watch, you know, Toy Story or any of these movies, and they have like a very similar look.
Yeah.
I feel like Onward and Soul almost looked like a more recent Disney movie, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Like, because the new Disney animation almost, you could almost think it is Pixar. You know what I mean? Like they've taken very similar looks, mm-hmm. I guess is the best word.
Yeah, and approaches, I would say. But I
just didn't think Onward or Soul really looked like those other Pixar movies that you're used to. They almost look like the new age Disney movies.
Right. Well, one thing that I will say for Pixar is if you go back and you look at a movie like Toy Story and you look at Andy, you know, and the way that he looked and the way that he was presented, they've light years ahead of where they were in terms of people. And what really got me was like the fingers playing the piano and like the amount of detail that was in within that just really impressed me. So like I said, I enjoyed it. I didn't necessarily love it. And maybe I just need to go back and rewatch it and maybe get that message, because it was a great message. There really was like
some great. Well, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, the message is great. Like self-acceptance and all that. But I just, like I said, there was some, like the magic was missing.
Yeah.
And then I also really didn't care for the ending.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I thought the story was great. I thought the movie was really good. And then the way they ended it was kind of just like, you kind of ruined that.
Yeah. And be it as it may, it's tough to sort of think that this is really the case, but it's really nice to see Pixar put a black actor as the front man. I mean, you got Jamie Foxx as the number one here, the main role. It's the first big time fan. Yeah, me too. I loved him in Ray, like him playing the piano, and it's just sort of fit. But it's disappointing, but it's also great. It's a really weird circumstance, but it's awesome to see, you know, a gentleman of color playing a lead role in a Pixar film. That's really cool.
See, I was more thinking Django, but over well, Ray.
Oh, see, yeah, everybody's got their own Jamie Foxx.
I mean, it's just because Jamie Foxx is just such a BA.
Yeah. And no, he's good. I loved him in Ray. So that's our personalities.
Was great in that. I don't want to say take anything away from that. I just see him as more of like an action movie guy, like Baby Driver or Django, or you know what I mean. He's just what was that other one? The
remember Held Up? Do you remember that? That's like an old film. You probably never seen it, but he was in a movie where like he's in like this little like gas station, and it gets held up, and he's like the hero that has to save everybody. I remember that. It's pretty cool. But
The Kingdom. That's the one I'm trying to remember.
I gotcha. Yep.
Great movie. I loved that one.
So, no, good stuff. For the most part, like if you had to rate it, let's just say on a scale of 1 to 10, are you putting it way down at 1? Wasn't that bad, was it?
It's one of my least favorite Pixar movies.
Okay.
I mean, it's like above Cars 2.
Oh, wow.
Maybe Cars 3.
Okay.
But it's under Onward, which I wasn't a huge fan of, like I said. Maybe like a 4 or 5 out of 10.
Wow. See, I was going to say 7 or 8. Like, I still liked it. It was better than a lot of others, but it wasn't.
But better than what?
I mean, it's definitely better than the Cars series, in my opinion. I thought
Cars 1 is better.
Okay, Cars 1 definitely is up towards the top. But to put it almost past Cars 2 and Cars 3, come on. Really?
But, like, name another one.
So,
like, it would be at the bottom if you can't even think of one.
I guess you're right. I'd have to look at the lineup again.
Like Monsters, Inc., Monsters U, Wall-E.
No, definitely not.
I guess.
Toy Story 4?
Terrible.
Yeah.
I'll put it above Toy Story 4. Okay. I'll give you that one.
All right, perfect.
I can't even say the words I want to say on this podcast about the way I feel about Toy Story 4.
There you go.
It's like Rocky after Rocky 4. You watch Rocky 5, 6, Rocky Balboa. I mean, you just shouldn't have watched them.
There you go.
Hey, you know, before we get into this next segment, let's take a quick break. Let's go get something to eat. Let's wash our hands, and we'll see you real soon.
The Wolf of Disney Podcast is sponsored by what? Really? Really? Wow. Yeah, absolutely. The Wolf and Wookie, a WDW podcast, is brought to you by Traveling with Lizzie and Laurie. You can find them over on Facebook at Traveling with Lizzie or Enchanting Escapes with Laurie. Melissa and Laurie are there to help plan your dream vacation. So whether that's Disney, Universal, or any other destination, we, over at the Wolfpack, can leave the details to them and enjoy the beauty of our destination without the hassle of the planning. I'm sure you're asking yourself, Wolf, why would I pay for someone to plan my vacation? Well, luckily, it is completely free to utilize their services. Having to pay someone more is a complete misconception. Utilizing the master planning of either one of these magical ladies will actually save you money by always price monitoring and applying deals or promotions to your reservation. Can you say you don't have to go on the phone anymore? Because that sounds wonderful. They are the ones that are going to be on hold for hours so that you don't have to. Disney actually pays them to take care of your every Disney travel need. And they're also there to deal with any problem that may arise while you're visiting the park. If you listen back to our old episodes, we had tons of issues in the past, the Wookiee and I. So instead of spending your valuable time at the front desk, you could be in the parks with your family while Melissa or Lori is on the phone dealing with any problem. Are you interested in a free quote? Head over to Traveling with Lissy, Lissy, and let Melissa and Lori help you start planning your dream vacation today. Again, that's www.travelingwithlissy.com. So let's dive in, Mr. Wookie, because I do want to touch on Disney's Investor Day. A lot of big stuff came out, and what I'm going to do is, and we sort of did this before, but obviously more things came out. But I'm just going to hit you with, just give me your initial reaction. I'm going to throw something out there. I'm going to start with Disney, and go from there. And the first one has me excited, and I know our buddy John.
We almost might want video for this. Just to watch my facial reactions.
Yeah, that's usually a dead giveaway. So the first one that I'm going to hit you with, and I know our buddy John over at Started With a Mouse podcast is excited about this one, and that is the Mighty Ducks Game Changer. So it's the mini series for the Mighty Ducks. Did you watch the trailer?
I did. Okay. I'm just nervous.
Okay.
I don't want you to ruin something. Like, there's nothing original anymore. That's my biggest problem. Mm-hmm. Is everything's a spinoff or a remake or there's nothing new.
Yeah.
So I'm afraid of ruining old stuff by trying to make it new.
Yeah. I would agree. I think there are some things that make me nervous about it. The trailer was really cute. They actually have a moment where one of the characters is like, yeah, I've got more of like a podcast body. And I was like, oh, that's Ryan and I. Like, that is classic. So it was just a lot of fun. But I know that, you know, there's going to be a big push for it. Are you? Let's put it this way. Are you going to watch it?
Probably.
Yeah.
I generally watch everything that Disney makes.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Safety yet, to answer your question previously.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's probably next on the list.
Yeah. Well, I'm a
big football guy, so.
In looking at Disney Investor Day, all I see is like stuff that the Wookiee can talk about in his new segment. So the next one, I got to be honest, I have heard a lot about this. I'm excited about it. I know Jennifer, my wife, is very excited about it. And that is Hocus Pocus 2, which is bringing back the original cast. So Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, all going to be back. Initial reaction, which didn't look good.
They got to be like 100 by now, right?
No. Bette Midler's a little old, but I wouldn't say she's 100.
Dude, what are we doing? We're just going to ruin like a great movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes when something's so good, you just need to let it be good.
Okay.
You don't need to try to expand on it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, all right. Like, here's a good one. Halloween Town.
Yeah.
One was great. Two was okay. And then it got ridiculous. Weird.
It's true. I would agree.
Why are we going to try to ruin this too? Everybody loves Hocus Pocus. Let's not ruin it.
Yep. I see where you're coming from, but there's going to be a lot of people who will tell you you're crazy for not being at least a little bit excited about it. The Sanderson sisters, I think, and here's what I'll say about this, is I think that Hocus Pocus 2, even if it's terrible, people will still love the first one.
Yeah, but doesn't it tarnish it a little bit if you make like a terrible sequel?
I don't think so. Because I think regardless, I think people are still going to love it. I mean, the Christmas Story is probably one of the most viewed movies at Christmas time, and I'm pretty sure they made a second one that absolutely bombed.
Okay, again, we'll go back. Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, fantastic, and then it got ridiculous.
Yeah, but so do you think any less of the first four because of that?
Yeah,
really,
100%.
But how much does it really diminish?
You got to let things just go. You got to let things die. Like, there's a beginning and an end to everything.
So, but do you not watch the first four anymore because they made those?
No, I watch the first four and then I pretend the other ones don't exist.
There you go. And there will be people who I think will have to do that, but there will also be people who really enjoy it. So, the next one that I did want to talk to you a little bit about was Raya and the Last Dragon. Have you heard about that at all? Are you excited about it? So this is actually what we were talking about, sort of original concept. This is a little bit more on the original concept side. It seems to be following a young female lead, Raya, and the Last Dragon. So I don't know a whole lot about it. I didn't really prepare myself. I was hoping that that you knew a little bit more about it than I did, but this is something that I think a lot of people are excited for, and that's the general feel that I've gotten about it, because it's somewhat original. It's not something that they're remaking. It's not a Hocus Pocus 2. It's not a Chip and Dale remake, live action,
Lion King. Yeah, I'm not excited about that. It's basically just Alvin and the Chipmunks all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I was all set on.
You know, Sister Act 3 is going to be happening with Whoopi Goldberg. You know, she's coming back with a number of the cast. I love the Sister Act series. I actually thought the second one was better than the first. So
I don't even know what you're talking about. So
Sister Act was a film probably from the early late 70s, early 80s about Whoopi Goldberg. She played a woman that went undercover, not undercover, but she was under witness protection, and she went into this to be a nun, and she taught the nuns how to sing. And the year two, she came back and taught the kids how to sing and at the school. So it was a lot of, it was a fun movie. I actually do think that you'd like it.
Sister Act. I don't think I've ever even heard of it.
Really?
Wow. No.
Pretty popular movie for sure. Obviously you've also got the big releases like Jungle Cruise with Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Emily Blunt coming. So that
I'm excited to see what that does, because that movie doesn't really have, like, The Ride doesn't have like a storyline to it.
Yeah.
So they can kind of do whatever they want with that movie.
Exactly. Which
I'm excited to see, you know, what direction they, you know, they take this movie. And then I would be excited to see if the movie's a hit, if they make any changes to The Ride,
right,
to accommodate the movie, like they did with Pirates of the Caribbean.
Absolutely. I think, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is one of those guys recently that anything he touches just turns into gold and people love it. So I am excited about this as well.
He's just a little oversaturated. It's become a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's a hot take.
He's in everything.
Right. But he does a good job. He's
great. I love him. I'm not saying that. It's just like, all right, like,
he's The Rock.
Yeah, someone else. You know, it's become a little much.
I gotcha. No, and you know, it certainly is interesting to, you know, try to think like they couldn't have casted anyone else. So I agree, but I'm sure it'll be interesting to see how he fits into a role like the one that they've kind of previewed.
But again, that movie could go in any direction. It has no script to go by, per se. Exactly. So, I mean, he's great. Everything he touches is a million. It makes millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So I'm not. It's going to be successful just because he's in it. Mm-hmm. But you're telling me you couldn't have found maybe someone a little more talented or maybe a little more original.
Right. So let's.
That's my only take.
Yeah. Let's jump over to they are creating some series. Disney is creating some series. I'm just going to name all of them and you can let me know which one maybe excites you the most. So they've got a Zootopia series, Tiana, Moana, and Baymax.
So Zootopia and Baymax definitely spark my interest. As if you've listened to our show, Zootopia was one of my favorite movies to review on Wookiee's Worth the Watch. Mm-hmm. And Big Hero 6 is actually like my favorite Disney movie right now.
Yeah.
So those two definitely, I'll definitely be checking in on Zootopia and Baymax, because I just think they're fun ideas that you can definitely very effortlessly expand on. Mm-hmm. I mean, the city of Zootopia is so big. There's so much you could do with that. And then the character of Baymax was just so lovable.
Yeah.
I think you could really do a lot with that as well. What were the other two? Tiana, I wasn't the biggest Princess and the Frog fan.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an okay movie. I didn't love it. And I definitely don't love it enough to replace Splash Mountain with it. So I have some hard feelings there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Moana, that was a really good movie.
Yeah.
So if, again, you're going to get Dwayne The Rock Johnson in there, yeah, I'll check it out.
Right. Yeah, I think for me, Zootopia, I think it does sort of open up the possibilities of a really cool series. And what I love about that is it has the ability to sort of be like a crime show almost.
Yeah,
where you can follow her and the crime, and you know, she needs to get the hints and the tips. And I think that you can do an amazing job with the cast there and the writing. And I think Zootopia, out of that group, Zootopia definitely spikes my interest the most.
That could be like Cops, but like Disney version, just like,
exactly.
Oh, I'm gonna go to the Savannah today. Oh, yeah. This snake's under arrest. You know what I mean? I think there's a lot to be made from that.
For sure. For sure. And I think, you know, it sort of becomes its own, like you said, cops, Law and Order comes to mind, where, you know, you sort of run into that type
of detective.
Yeah. Like, it's got so much potential.
Like Criminal Minds, kind of.
Exactly. Yeah. I think Zootopia out of that group really does have the most pull for me, at least. So let's jump over to Pixar, which they only really highlighted two things. And I am curious on your take. One of which being Lightyear. So it is the prequel to Buzz, which I know is one of your favorite characters. And they also have a new original called Turning Red, which, based off of what I read, it was about a young girl who turns into a big red dragon, I believe it is, anytime she's really nervous. So it'll be interesting to sort of see how that plays out, but not a whole lot of details on that one.
A lot of dragon stuff, huh?
Yeah, interesting take. I'm not sure why.
How to Train Your Dragon. Maybe they're trying to compete with...
Maybe.
DreamWorks.
But Lightyear, Chris Evans is supposed to be the voice of Buzz.
Which I'm really excited about because I love him.
Yeah.
And I think he's a stud. I mean, I like the guy. He just seems really... he seems really likable. Yeah. He just filmed a movie, Knives Out, here in Natick, in my hometown. There was a couple scenes shot in downtown Natick, so I went and, you know, got a peek at him, but, you know, obviously he was a little further away than I would have liked, but I did get to see him.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of cool. I mean, I do like the guy, so that's why I, you know, kind of dorked out and drove over there. But
there you go.
He's the person that the toy Buzz is based on.
Mm-hmm.
So at first on Investor Day, I was not happy to hear that they were making a Lightyear show.
Yeah.
But then when I realized, because I thought they were just replacing Tim Allen with Chris Evans.
Mm-hmm.
Now knowing that it's not the toy, like it's not Buzz the toy, it's the guy the toy is based after, mm-hmm. who's based off of Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah.
So I like that premise a lot better. I think the show has a lot more potential now that it's, you know, it's not the toy that you've grown to love this whole time. It's the guy the toy is built off of. So now you get like the real Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
That, like, you are a toy. That was Woody's big line.
Yep.
This isn't Buzz the toy. This is the real Buzz. So
the real Buzz, right. Yeah, I'm excited that about that,
potential too. To be, I think it could be great.
Yeah, me too. So the next big thing here, I'm gonna save Star Wars for last, but I'm gonna jump over to Marvel. And as I sort of alluded to, a lot of these series just sort of feel like they're throwing stuff up to see if it sticks. And I sort of felt the same way about some of the Star Wars stuff, that these are pilots. These are to try to gain traction and see what's going to stick, because so frequently with, you know, streaming services, you have to find your niches. You have to find where your audience is. So I just, looking at the lineup and how many things they put out, I just don't know how many of these are going to be long series. Like, how many of them are going to go into 4 to 5 to 6 seasons? So that to me is what's really interesting about all this. But in the Marvel universe, they've got Blade, obviously Doctor Strange, in the multiverse, Hawkeye's got his own series, Loki's got his own series, Thor's got a new movie coming out, Love and Thunder. You got Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which a few of these just recently released their trailers, so I don't know if you've checked those out. You also have I Am Groot, and the big one I think for a lot of folks was Fantastic Four. You know, they're reassembling or trying to recast the original Fantastic Four. So that to me is where my interest is, because I am, you know, new to this Marvel universe. You really introduced me to it. And I think, you know, Doctor Strange in the multiverse, that is exciting. Thor Love and Thunder is exciting to me. And then the other one's Fantastic Four, because I do remember the first one. I think Chris Evans was in that as well. And I'll be interested to see, you know, who's Mr. Fantastic, you know, who's, you know, who rounds out that cast? Because I am interested to see what sort of becomes of that. But I'm curious your take. What's your takes?
I will run through this. I know you and the fans know I'm a big Marvel guy.
Yep.
Probably a slightly bigger Star Wars guy. So I want to save enough time for that. So I'll quickly run through, you know, all the shows that Marvel's bringing out. We're already at the 48-minute mark. So, but here's what I'll say. Fantastic Four has been a flop on, you know, they tried twice early on with Chris Evans. And then they tried again with Michael B. Jordan. Mm-hmm. That flopped as well. I think if anyone can make that series work, it's definitely Marvel and Disney. And I think they can connect that to the timeline moving forward. Now that you're over the whole Thanos thing, I think the mutants and the Fantastic Four are all going to play a big role moving forward to expand the universe and replace, you know, characters that we've lost, like Captain America, Iron Man, Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
The Black Widow show, the movie intrigues me.
Yep.
The Thor movie intrigues me. I think you'll probably see maybe some Guardians of the Galaxy in there.
Yep.
That movie, they're bringing Natalie Portman back, and I think she's going to be the girl of Thor.
Yep.
So I think that's going to be a great movie. It was another movie you named.
Doctor Strange, Blade.
I think Doctor Strange is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
They already said it's going to be like a horror film. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be probably the edgiest Marvel movie you're going to see in the universe.
Yep.
And I think he's a fantastic character. I think he was underutilized in Endgame.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot you can do with that character. And I think he can definitely fill the shoes of one of those, you know, major three that you lost.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, that's sort of the question is, and you pose it really well. Like, we've lost three really big main characters. Like, we need to fall in love with somebody at this point.
You had six originals, Hulk, Thor, Captain America, Iron Man, Hawkeye, and Black Widow. And you lost three of those six.
Right.
I thought Black Panther might be able to replace one of those, but unfortunately we lost, you know, T'Challa. So it's probably got to be Doctor Strange and like Spider-Man at this point.
Yeah, probably. Probably. And I would think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this like multi-universe that we're in, how that all plays a role.
Hot take, I think it's got a lot to do with Wanda. So I think WandaVision is going to play a lot into the multiverse of madness.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be, that's another one that'll be interesting. We've talked a little bit about that, but that'll be sort of another one that'll be really interesting to sort of see how that all plays a role in developing a further storyline.
Like Jungle Cruise, that show can go in any direction it wants.
Yeah.
Because there's really no specific timeline it needs to follow.
Exactly.
And Vision's dead, technically. So I don't even know what that show's going to be.
Yeah.
To be completely honest with you, I like to consider myself a Marvel, you know,
guy
specialist, expert. But I have no idea what that show's going to be.
Yeah. How important do you think then is the writing to develop more content for stuff for you know later on?
I think the shows are going to be so like you look at the shows now like Iron Fist and like Daredevil and all this stuff that didn't really play into the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
I think now these shows are going to be must see to understand all the movies. I don't think like you had 20 something movies to build this Marvel universe.
Right.
I think moving forward, you're going to have to watch the shows as well.
Yeah. I agree.
it's not going to be just, oh, Iron Fist is over there while you have the Avengers over here. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, that's going to be a lot more connected moving forward.
Yep, definitely. Interesting. So let's finish this off. I've actually got a couple bonus ones for you that I want to throw.
And I love Loki. The idea of Loki, he's a great character.
Definitely. Did you see the trailer?
I did. It looks awesome.
It really does look good. Yep.
So it does look good. I'm very excited. It's just, before we move on, it's just weird to see all these shows about characters that you killed.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, and that's why, like,
Black Widow, and you get Loki, and you get, I don't know. It just.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think this multi-universe, like, the concept that they created in the in Endgame, I think will play a pretty big role, you know, because I think, you know, Star-Lord's going to want to go after Gamora, and he's going to have to go after Gamora in a different, you know, time. And the old
Gamora was there, so then it was like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. It's just, they're going to have to do a lot of explaining.
Yeah, a lot of cleanup almost.
Exactly.
Definitely. Yep. But I'll be interested to see how it goes.
Definitely. Again, if anyone can do it, it's definitely them. So
yeah. So let's jump into Star Wars, because I think this was for so many. This was sort of the creme de la creme. Like this is where a lot of the big news came out.
This blew my mind.
So obviously you have Obi-Wan, which we've talked a little bit about on this show. And
my favorite character.
It's very exciting to sort of hear and see, you know, as some of the details start to come out about the show. It'll be really, really cool to see what this is able to produce in terms of content.
The thing is you got a lot of him. Like, I love Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
In Phantom Menace, you didn't really get a ton of him.
Nope.
He was kind of just back at the ship while the rest of them were off on the mission.
Mm-hmm.
Until the end, when obviously he cut Darth Maul in half, which didn't even kill him. Right. So it was nice to see, you know, you got him in Revenge of the Sith and Clone Wars, but Attack of the Clones. But then you also got him in the show Clone Wars, which was nice just to see that Anakin Obi-Wan banter. But I heard Hayden Christensen is going to be back.
Yep.
As Anakin.
Right.
Or Darth Vader.
At this point, Darth Vader.
Obi-Wan. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all the more reason to
want to tune in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. I mean, again, I hot take, a lot of people hated him, but I loved Hayden Christensen as Anakin. So I couldn't be more happy than to hear that news.
Yeah. I'll jump right into the next one, because I think we all sort of knew after our conversations about Mando Monday that Ahsoka was going to have her own show, and it's been confirmed.
It was a dead given. Had to happen.
Yeah, you bring in a big name like her, you got to give her her own big thing, you know?
So now you definitely have to watch Clone Wars.
Yeah, I definitely I have started. I got through the first episode, but it was very confusing.
the first two seasons are very rough. Forgettable.
Yeah.
But once you get to 3, 4 and on,
mm-hmm.
you get Maul back, you get Bo-Katan, you get a lot. So just
bear with,
get through the first two seasons. Honestly, if you have to skip, just skip.
Yeah. Yep.
Because so, there's nothing from those two seasons that you really need to take away.
Yeah.
It's really just that nostalgia factor and bringing you back into the Star Wars universe.
Right. So the next one that I have written down here is Rangers of the New Republic, which
I think this could be fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be honest. I don't know a whole lot about it. But I've become so much more enamored with the Star Wars universe that I'm definitely excited about it.
Now, did you see the clip they released, the director put out of I think Mark sent it to us. It was
yes, I did see that.
And then she was like, you know, my dad was in the Air Force and
yep.
So I think that show's going to be great. She directed something. I'm drawing a blank now. What he told us.
I can't think of it either, and I don't have my phone in front of me. But no, it's one of those things. Like, I think that so many of us, first and foremost, are just in dire need for more content to consume. And especially with a lot of us being at home, there not being a whole lot of new content, it just was a necessity for us to get something. So this investor day was huge, especially for us, for people like us who like to talk about it. So it really was pretty cool to get a lot of this information. I'll run through a couple others here. Visions, Lando, A Droid Story, Willow, Rogue Squadron, and then obviously Book of Boba.
Rogue Squadron looks cool. Lando, I don't care.
Yeah.
Droid Story, I definitely don't care.
Yep.
Apparently, they're going to add another droid to C-3PO and R2-D2. Those were the worst episodes of Clone Wars.
Yeah,
when they focused on the droids, so I can't say that I'm too excited about that. Mm-hmm. Ahsoka, I'm definitely excited about.
Yeah,
Rangers of the New Republic, I'm definitely excited about.
Obi-Wan,
of course. You said another one.
Rogue Squadron, Willow, and Book of Boba.
Book of Boba, I'm excited about. I don't know what Willow is.
Not sure either.
And sure. You also have...
Well, Lucasfilm also is putting out a new Indiana Jones. I'm not sure how you feel about that based off of your...
I have to know what it is. Yeah. It's obviously not going to be Harrison Ford, so...
It is.
I'm probably going to... It is.
It's going to be in there. Yep.
Oh, it's probably going to be really bad, like the last two movies.
Yeah.
The first two were great. 3 and 4 were terrible.
Yeah. There you go.
But I was going to say Bad Batch.
Oh, okay.
That's another show that released.
Yeah. I don't have that one written down. But
so that was season 7 of Clone Wars. At the beginning, they meet a bad batch of clones that has enhanced strength or enhanced,
abilities.
Yeah.
If you will.
A team formation that makes them special.
I see.
And, one of them is super smart. One of them is super strong. One of them is a really good leader. Mm-hmm. One of them is a really good sniper.
Yep.
They all have this deformation. Yeah, they're not a clone. They're not your typical clone. They're a deformed clone that has some enhanced ability. And it plays a big role in Clone Wars season 7.
Yep.
And I think, honestly, those were some of my favorite episodes of Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Just because those guys, again, a bunch of BAs.
Yeah. Yep.
So they, I think that it's an animated show. Mm-hmm. So obviously it's going to be cartoon, but you already know the characters, and if you've seen Clone Wars, you definitely like these characters.
Yeah.
So for people like me, I'm excited about Bad Batch. For people like you, you're like, what the heck is this?
Yeah, that's exactly kind of how I feel about it. But I'm sure as I continue to get into Clone Wars and sort of develop that relationship with those characters, I'm sure it'll feel similar as well. I had bonus ones. That one of them was Indiana Jones, which, kind of hit or miss. But the other one was Man in the Arena, which is coming out through ESPN Plus. I know both of us are big Tom Brady fans, but this is going to be central around Tom Brady and all of his appearances over to the Super Bowl. And curious if you'll watch it.
I don't know how to answer this question.
Okay.
Because I'm very upset with Tom Brady.
Sure. I wanted to break it up a little bit. We're talking Disney, ESPN Plus. We every once in a while we'll do UFC, but I figured something like this may strike your interest.
It's just that I love him and I hate him.
Sure. I get it.
So the Patriots aren't in the playoffs and the Buccaneers are.
Yeah.
And Tom looks great and Bill looks like a fool.
Yeah.
And we look like trash and they look
pretty good.
Pretty decent.
Yep. I agree.
So,
I mean, I can remember, you know,
it's definitely going to piss me off, but I'll probably watch it without telling anybody.
Yeah. Well, it's a docuseries, which he did one of those through Facebook, but ESPN picked them up. They're going to do.
I didn't watch that. I'm going to be honest.
Really? Okay.
No. Interesting. What was it? Like Tom?
Tom versus Time.
Tom versus Time. Yeah, I was going to say.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't care.
Gotcha.
He was being very whiny at the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. I was kind of on a little hiatus.
Sure.
But now that he's gone, I'm like, ugh.
Yep.
Love to have that guy right now.
Pretty much.
Hey, you know, why don't, before we get into this next segment, let's take a quick break. Let's go get something to eat. Let's wash our hands, and we'll see you real soon.
Wolfpack, a picture is truly worth a thousand words. And one thing we talk a lot about on this show is making sure you remember those vacations with the people that you love. So whether you're coming to Florida to visit Disney or even its surrounding areas, Hinson Photography specializes in vacation portraits for everyone. This is a wonderful souvenir that you and the ones you love will absolutely never forget. Visit Hinson Photography, so that's H-I-N-S-O-N, photography.com, or call 386-478-8099 to learn more about booking vacation portraits with Hinson Photography. Again, that is Hinson, H-I-N-S-O-N, photography.com, or call 386-478-8099 to learn more about the packages that they offer. Well, Mr. Wookie, we're about an hour in, but we've still got a couple things that we want to do here. We've been doing this now for quite some time. We've got almost a year in the books. And really, I can't remember. When did you first come onto the show? Was it
episode 9?
Episode 9.
I was a guest for the first time.
Yep.
I think I was your second guest ever.
Yeah, I think so.
It was your dad, then me.
Yep.
I actually think I said to you, I better be your first guest.
Yeah, but when I had to tell you then.
When you told me it was your dad, I was like, all right.
Yep.
If you just pulled in some schmuck, I would have been like.
Hey, what the hell?
Yeah, but.
Yep. Yeah, so I'm looking now. So May 6th was your official first day.
I was a guest on 11,
yep.
And then I was full-time on 13.
On 13. So 13 was June 3rd will be your official full year. So you've been doing this for just about 6 months now, sir.
Come a long way.
Yeah, you have. And so I'm looking now. My official 1 year will be March 5th. But obviously we're heading into a new year. I thought it would be fun, and I know a lot of other podcasts are doing this as well, but I thought it would be fun to talk about, you know, sort of our top moments, sort of in no particular order.
I'll just start like this. I was horrified to even be a guest.
Yeah.
And then you had me back 2 weeks later, and I was like, we're probably going to run out of stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
We talked for 2.5 hours. Now I have to come back 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to talk about?
What are we talking about?
And then 2 weeks after that, you invite me on the show full time,
mm-hmm.
in your kitchen, just on the spot, which I think on the episode you were out, I did a top five.
Yeah.
That was one of them. Just kind of getting hit with the question like, hey,
you want to do this?
You want to do this?
Right.
And that was a big moment for me because I wasn't surprised. I don't want to say the word surprised because I had a feeling that might, we just gelled so well for almost 4 hours and two episodes. So
mm-hmm.
I had a feeling that was in the cards, but right. I, to actually hear it out loud was
pretty cool.
Yeah. I can't imagine. I couldn't have imagined at the time that we would have grown to the point we have and, you know, joined the family that we have. And I just kind of, it all worked out and I couldn't thank you more, you know?
Yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun, you know, doing this, I think week in and week out, you know, we always have that initial conversation like, hey, what are we talking about this week? And honestly,
this week we didn't even, the premise was just like a year in review and
yeah, and we had just some initial stuff that we had to talk about that we just haven't had the opportunity to. So it's been fun to sort of sit down and you know, connect with you and talk about the stuff that we just really enjoy. And gosh, me too. Nice, like 85 cool breeze day hitting the golf ball.
Suck by next year.
Yeah, we're gonna need like lessons or something.
I finally got decent and then snow hit the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I do want to go through, I know you did a top five. I figured we could do five moments that really, really hit us. It would be an editing nightmare for me to try to go through and find 10 moments that really stick out. But I'll let you go first, Mr. Wookie. What's a moment within the last year of podcasting that's really stuck out to you?
I have a feeling I know what some of yours are, so I'm just going to stick with what we were just saying.
Yeah.
And just, I would say episode 13, the very beginning, just you being like, hey, you want to be on the team? It was just a big moment for me. And if you remember, I had just done stand up for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I do. So, and you made me do that. And then you made me do this podcast and, it was just kind of a lot of overcoming a lot of my fears and insecurities.
Yeah.
I will say. So, I mean, one, thank you. But two, just the fact that I kind of overcame those things was like a big moment for me. Definitely. So I would say 13 was, again, coming fresh off my first set.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, joining this full time after being a guest twice.
Yeah.
Was definitely a big moment in 2020. You know, definitely a very crappy year, but definitely one of the bright spots.
Yeah. And, you know, I think for me, I think I'm always just trying to encourage everyone to do something that they're sort of passionate about. And for you, I saw so much passion in what you wanted to do in terms of, you know, comedy and stand up. And, you know, for you, it was just saying.
I still do want to do. It's just, I got to wait for everything to open up again.
And that's just it. Which
is kind of crummy because I finally overcame my stage fright.
Right.
And then everything shuts down like less than a month later.
Right.
Like I was finally ready to start getting into like a, you know, a
little bit of a flow.
Like,
right.
Yeah. Like maybe at least once a week.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of these guys do like four sets a night. So I definitely am not on that level. But, you know, once a week, twice a week, that would have been great. And then all of a sudden COVID hit the United States. So.
Mm-hmm. Got to snap that
out. Now I have to overcome that all over again, which is I'm not looking forward to, but I'm also looking forward to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think for me, you know, to get into one of my favorite moments, it was sitting down with my dad, and I know the audio sucked in that episode, but to be able to sit down with him and talk about, so this was episode number 8, if I remember correctly, of just being able to sit down with him and talk about like his initial reactions to Disney and, you know, what he remembers, that to me was really special. And I think, you know, later on in life, I'm sure that I'll want to listen to that as often as I can. And I hope that I can do it with, you know, like my mom and obviously I got to do it with my brother, which was really special. But that first one with my dad was really cool. And I do hope to do that with more members of my family because I think that, you know, it sort of becomes its own little time capsule that you can always turn back to. And I think that's a really kind of a cool sentiment to sort of think about. So,
all right. Well, you didn't say the one I thought you were going to say. So now I'm going to take it. Sure. I'm going to go with Gene.
Okay.
Gene Clark. Yeah. I think I don't even know what episode it was. It's definitely in the teens.
Yeah, I think he was. Let's take a peek. I'll find him. Go ahead and talk. I'll find it.
Just what a fantastic idea. I don't want to take credit, but I definitely mentioned that idea in a previous episode. And then he actually put it to fruition, which, again, was just one. I think the main thing for me on that was just how much effort he put into putting that together for us, like a 64 movie bracket. Like, he literally sat there and put 64 movies on a list.
Right.
And then bracketed them all.
Yeah, which, that was number 18. And I got to agree with you. It really was a phenomenal show. It was awesome to get to know him a little bit. And it really
was someone we never had met. And they brought the idea to us and asked us to be on the show.
Yep.
So it was like, oh, and he lives in Atlanta.
Right.
Wow. I didn't know people that far away listened to us.
Yep.
So I think that was kind of one of those moments like, oh man, we're reaching more people than we think we are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think not only was it a fantastic episode, just the fact that someone we didn't know put that much effort in to be part of our show,
yeah,
was pretty fascinating and just fantastic, really.
Yeah. And not only that, but we text with Gene. We're still close and friendly with him.
We still talk to him. He's only been on once.
Yeah.
We got to have him back.
Absolutely, we do. So I 100% agree. He's a great guy, and it's definitely, you know, definitely up towards the top in my book as well. But I won't steal your thunder. My second one, and I'm gonna go with your original idea, which was the UFC night, the fight night that we did. And really, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna plug James and Mouse Ears and Magic podcast for calling on us to speak our case and try to put it together. Like, yeah, that was so cool. And it was similar on a similar essence of Gene. Like, Gene was listening, wanted to be a part of the show. James was listening too. And he's like, we got to have you on our show to talk about this stuff. Like, we need a resolution to this.
Yeah. We put the matchups together on our show, but we didn't pick winners.
Right.
So then to hear another podcast reach out to us and be like, we have to pick winners.
Yeah, we've got to. We got to find a resolution to this. That, like, was really cool.
A whole episode that we'd already, and if we're being completely honest, when I first joined the show way back, that was one of the first ideas I came up with.
Yeah, it definitely was.
We put it on the back burner for a while.
Right. Because I was trying to get into UFC. I wasn't really into it at that point. UFC was episode number 30. That is correct. 30.
So, I mean, I probably brought that up on episode like 15.
Yeah.
So we had like 2.5 months go by, and then we finally lived out that idea, mm-hmm. which, not to take credit, but yeah, that was an idea of mine that I thought would be fun. And we mm-hmm. kind of kicked around, but never really put pen to paper. And then we finally lived it out, and look where it went. I mean, we had other shows hitting us up. So
that was cool.
I thought that was, that's definitely up there for me as well.
Yep, for sure. It's on you, sir.
I'm going to be honest. One of my favorite episodes, and this is kind of obscure, but the episode with your brother.
Yeah.
I thought that was just, he's just got such a good personality. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of found me and him, like, you're a little older than me. He's a little younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
So there was kind of like a mixture of like who I connected with more during that episode. So there was some movies where like me and you were like, oh, I love that. Yeah. And then there was shows where me and him were like, oh, I watched that. And you didn't.
Yep.
So I don't know. That was just kind of fun to bounce back and forth in the Rawson household.
Yeah. That was episode number 19. And it was, you know, I sort of mentioned, like, it sort of becomes a little time capsule that, you know, at some point, 5-10 years from now, we can go back and we can listen to that conversation. And it really does provide for some really cool memories.
And it was a lot about, like, Disney Channel.
Yeah. Which was
the first time we had really gotten into that.
Right. Really had the opportunity to get into that.
And you also didn't even tell me he was going to be on. So when I hopped on the audio, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. And I just had to go with it.
Right. Improv. We were training your improv. That's all.
Exactly. I had no idea. So it was you and someone else talking to me. I was like, what the heck is happening?
Yeah.
And you're like, by the way, Aiden's joining us, my brother. I'm gonna hit record now.
Exactly. Like I said, that was all about getting the improv practice for you a little bit. So my next favorite thought that comes to mind is, so I said the UFC episode. I'm going to go with the Disney soundtrack episode. It was probably one of my favorites. And I think for me, this was sort of my opportunity to express my love for music and share that with our Wolfpack. And I think anytime I can sort of get back to the roots of music and have that incorporated in some way, shape, or form in my life, I'm always really excited. And this was a great opportunity to do that because Disney songs were consistently played at my house for sure. So number 31, Disney soundtrack. That was, yeah, that's definitely up towards the top for me.
So I have like a two-part answer. How many more do we have? I only got two more?
Two more. Yes, sir.
Two more. Okay, so I'm going to give you a two-part answer on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say episode 34.
Yep.
And episode 38.
Yep.
As one answer.
Sure.
Because those episodes, you weren't there.
Yeah.
So it was me quarterbacking it and not something I had the confidence in myself to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they went pretty well.
Yeah.
34 was a little rough. I said good time way too many times. I just kept repeating myself. But putting together an episode with a guest without you, in episode 38, I know he had already been on, but having John DelMonico on it,
mm-hmm.
kind of sit in the wolf's chair,
yeah,
per se, was kind of fun just because I got to be not the star of the show, but just I got to run the show. So
yeah.
All the questions were designed by me. All the game was designed by me.
It was just pace.
It was just fun being you for a week. So that was something I didn't think I was capable of doing, and again, yeah. just overcoming a fear of failure, really,
yeah.
and putting together a decent episode was pretty fun. Yeah. Just again, overcoming my own insecurities was nice.
Yeah. Definitely. I think for me, it's talking about sort of insecurities and putting yourself out there. My first real episode. So number one, Fly Me to Disney is truly indicative of how nervous I was to start this whole process. I mean, I had written down and had the idea of doing this for a long time. And this first episode, number one, Fly Me to Disney was really, you know, all of the cobwebs and all of the, you know, the butterflies coming out because I was so nervous to do it. And, you know, I do a little bit where I'm the captain of the plane and I'm like, welcome to Orlando. And I don't know why I did that, but it was, to me, that's something that will, you know, stick with me forever. Like I finally did it. I put myself out there. I set myself up for the next week. It was, you know, just something that I had to continue to do, but God, was I nervous, to put myself out there in sort of a position of vulnerability where I get a lot of flack for going to Disney. So there's going to be people who are going to be like, God, why is this kid doing this? Like, it's stupid, but I've gotten to a point now in age and maturity where I just don't care. Like, I'm going to continue to do what I enjoy, and this is it. So that was a big moment for me within this year that I definitely had to put up towards the top.
Yeah. I've overcome that too. Like the whole posting a Disney thing every week and then having people judge me. Just unfollow me if you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. You can leave, man. It's all good. So,
So I'm on the last one, right?
This is the last one. Yes, sir.
So I don't know if I'm stepping on your toes here, but I'm just going to throw a couple honorable mentions out real quick.
No, go for it.
Like our Worth the Wait series.
Yeah.
That four-episode series of, you know, rides that are worth the wait.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was – it was pretty fun. Just
– yeah.
Yeah, we have our own show, but now we have, like, a series going on within the show.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really cool idea, and I thought that was a fun – month of episodes.
It was really a lot of fun.
I also thought the fantasy football draft was fantastic.
That was cool.
Another idea of mine that I thought, you know, this could really just, let's pit some of our favorite characters up against each other, maybe not in a fight, but
yep,
you know, in a football game, and whose skills would work out at what position.
Exactly.
The Marvel recap I thought was really fun. But the big one I wanted to bring up would be, I mean, I love the Would You Rathers.
Yeah, those were fun.
The Would You Rathers are great. Quizney was great.
Yep.
John and Kathy were awesome.
Yeah, John, Kathy, like, I'm such a big fan of theirs. They're definitely in my honorable mentions as well.
I'm hoping to see them when I go to Disney.
Yeah, Joe from Ear to Ear Chatters. Like, I was just a fan of theirs. So to have them come on to the show was really special for me. So they're definitely up there on the honorable mentions. And I gotta throw out the props to them for sure.
And I want to say, this isn't my answer, but Dwayne and Lori was one of my favorite episodes we've ever done.
Yep. No, that was.
I'm not just saying that because they're part of our family.
Yep.
Like, they were fantastic. Their ideas were awesome. I thought that was truthfully one of our best episodes.
Yeah. And also the episode that we did with Mark. I mean, that was a fun episode. I mean, too.
Mark's always great.
Yeah. I mean, and not only that, but there's another one that it needed a part two. So he's like, hey, you know what? Come on over to this side, come over to This Is Life, and let's talk some more, because we needed a resolution to our first conversation. So it definitely, and I think for me, you know, I think the amount of friends and family members and people that we've been able to interact with in a time where you can't interact with anybody, it's been really nice to get to get to know some folks, like I said, through this medium.
I couldn't agree more. We've made some fantastic friends through this show, just honestly reaching out and just asking nicely. Yep. And then how receptive everybody's been. And then to just have Mark and Dwayne and Lori and the Hinsons and the Shavers and all of them just accept us into the group, you know, Lissy and all of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're very lucky that we, you know, within a year found such a great group of people to join up with.
Yep.
I couldn't express my gratitude more, and I'm really looking forward to what's to come, but like, it really just truthfully just great people that we've come in contact with. And look how quickly, I mean, me and you, again, we're just talking into a phone sitting on the counter.
Right.
And now we're part of a family. Like, it's just, it's pretty mind blowing. We're under a year. Yeah. I mean, I know January 1st, like, we're starting this whole new rebranding, but that's still not even a year for you. Forget me. Yeah. You've been doing this, you know, about a month and a half, 2 months longer than me.
Mm-hmm.
And even you aren't at the year point yet. Forget me. And we're already part of this big thing. So
yeah, it's pretty cool.
Fantastic.
It's really cool.
I would say my favorite episode, number one, Piano Rob was just kind of like a mind trip for me, just because, again, I'm such a big fan of Jelly Rolls and of his, and I've met him. I've gotten a drink with him at the bar before after his set was over. Again, I know he probably doesn't remember because he meets a million people a night, but just to think that someone I've geeked out over and thrown money and songs on his piano, that he'd take the time to come on our podcast on a Tuesday morning was like, I don't know.
Pretty cool.
It just goes back to our point that like Disney hires really great people.
Love that. Yep. They do.
So, and I just, to have one of those great people on our show was just kind of a mind trip for me. And just, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but I'm just like such a big fan of not just of Rob's, just everyone at Jelly Rolls, because it's such a fascinating idea that you can just play anything.
Right.
You know, Lady Gaga to Smashing Pumpkins, like you name it, and they can play it. Yeah. And to think that there's like 8 people like that that they employ that can all do that is just, it's fascinating. And I just think they're all amazing. And I would love to have, you know, every single one of them on the show. But
yeah,
the fact that Piano Rob is such like a genuine person and like a literal Disney fan enough to come on our show was
pretty cool.
It was really cool. And I didn't talk too much because I was kind of, I don't know, I guess nerding out a little bit, but
sure.
Very cool. I just couldn't imagine that was actually happening. Oh, yeah. And that's another one, Bonnie Cribbs. I mean,
yeah, definitely. He's another one. Honorable mention. I wish the audio was better. Similar to my dad's, like I wish the audio was better in that episode as well. And I think that, you know, when we had Bonnie on, it was just such a, he made us feel like we were the coolest of cool and the biggest podcast he'd ever spoken to. And that was obviously not the case. It was just so cool to be sort of in his presence because he's such just a wonderful person, such a nice guy, such an honest person. And we really did have a good time with that. But my number one is going to, you know, and again, it's not really even my number one. It's just a moment that really resonated with me for the year, was having Maggie on the show. And that was one of my wife's really good friends. And she was one of those people who was sort of in, you know, your corner and my corner that just simply was saying, hey, just go do it. You know, like just go have fun and just do it. I think you'd be really good at it. And to be able to bring her perspective and bring her onto the show, you know, was just really, you know, really cool for me. You know, she's such a nice, kind person that to have her, you know, sort of push me to do this. And now that I'm still doing it, I can't not, you know, sort of mention her. So definitely she's up on the list for sure.
I want to have her back because I wasn't there for that interview. So I definitely want to, I kind of want to bounce some ideas off for her and just kind of see where the conversation leads us, because I did listen to that episode and that was one of your better episodes. I think she was just, the knowledge she brought to the table was really good. And I would love to just partake in that conversation with her.
Absolutely.
I haven't been with a party as that big large. As yeah. Yeah, no, I think the biggest I've ever gone is maybe, you know, 8 people. You know, we've gone with other families before and stuff, like, but we weren't like, we went with other parties before, but we weren't like, you know, stay in the same room or traveling together necessarily, right. But we were just there at the same time. So to coordinate a trip that big with that many people would be a lot of work. So I can't imagine. And I definitely, I would definitely like to kind of pick her brain a little bit more. So definitely. Having her back is definitely something I want to you know, want to have in the cards.
Definitely. Well, Mr. Wookie, thanks for the hour and a half. It's been a good one. We've obviously we had a lot to cover and a lot to go over, and most certainly appreciate your time. And I think I'm excited for what the new year holds.
I am too. I mean, again, meeting Mark was a blessing, and getting to know the rest of the team has really been amazing because they're all awesome. Definitely. We still have a couple more of them to get on the show. But like I said, Dwayne and Lori was one of my favorite episodes. Mark is one of my favorite episodes. And we still got to get, you know, John Hinson and the Shavers and, you know, Lissy and you know, multiple others on the show. So
for sure,
we got a lot of interviews to go, my friend.
Absolutely. And until then, I hope everyone in the Wolfpack will have a very happy new year. As always, remain kind, wash your hands, and we'll
see you real soon.
Yes, indeed, we will.